Most people who think about Elon Musk think about rockets or electric cars or social media. But if you ask the people who have worked closely with him what he is actually obsessed with, a surprising number of them will say the same thing: manufacturing, not the product. The process of making the product, the factory, the machine that produces the machine. He has said, on multiple occasions, that building the factory is harder than building the thing the factory makes. He means that as a compliment to manufacturing. And if you want to understand where he thinks the world is going, not just Tesla or SpaceX, but humanity's future, you need to understand what he believes about robots, about factories, and about what happens to human work when both of those things get very, very good. Elon Musk grew up reading science fiction. The stories he loved most were not about lone heroes. They were about civilizations, human beings expanding, building, scaling up. The thing that enables a civilization to expand is its ability to make things. Not to design things, not to imagine things, to make them at scale, reliably, cheaply enough that they reach everyone who needs them. This is not a new idea. The Industrial Revolution was about exactly this. Henry Ford understood it. What is new in Musk's version is the combination of scale, speed, and the role of software and robots in making physical things. He entered the car industry because he believed internal combustion vehicles were a dead end. But what kept him there, and what genuinely excites him, is the manufacturing problem. How do you build a car, not just well, but orders of magnitude faster and cheaper than anyone has before? In 2016, Musk published what he called Master Plan Part 2. Most coverage focused on his vision for solar energy and autonomous driving. But buried inside it was a phrase that he would return to again and again: the machine that builds the machine. His argument was that the factory itself is a product. It needs to be designed with the same intensity you apply to the car. Most car companies design great cars and mediocre factories. Musk wanted to design great factories that could then produce great cars faster and cheaper than anyone else. The specific image he used was remarkable. He said the end goal was something that would look, to a traditional manufacturer, like an alien dreadnought. A factory so dense, so fast, so automated, that it would be unrecognizable as a manufacturing facility by current standards. The benchmark was not Toyota. The benchmark was some future state that did not yet exist. One of the most concrete expressions of this philosophy is what Tesla calls gigacasting. Traditional car bodies are built by welding together hundreds of individual stamped metal parts. Each part requires its own tooling, its own supply chain, its own quality check. The Model 3's rear underbody was made of approximately 70 separate pieces of metal. When Tesla designed the Model Y, they cast the entire rear underbody as a single piece of aluminium injected into a massive die at high pressure. 70 parts became two. Two became, eventually, one. The implications cascade. Fewer parts mean fewer welds to fail. Fewer welds mean fewer robots required for assembly. Fewer robots mean a smaller factory footprint. A smaller footprint means you can build more gigafactories faster. The gigacasting insight is not just about one component. It is a template for thinking about the entire vehicle as a set of parts that should not exist. The machines Tesla uses for this, called gigapresses, are among the largest die-casting machines ever built. Each one weighs roughly 400 tons and applies thousands of tons of clamping force. Musk has a diagnostic tool he uses in manufacturing reviews that he calls the Idiot Index. The principle is simple. Take any part. Divide its cost by the cost of the raw materials it is made from. If that ratio is very high, it means a lot of expense and complexity is being added in the manufacturing process that probably should not be there. A high Idiot Index is a sign that the design is wrong, or the process is wrong, or both. He has applied this across Tesla and SpaceX. When a rocket part had a very high Idiot Index, the question was, why does this part exist at all? Can the function it performs be absorbed into a neighboring part? Can the whole assembly be redesigned so that the part disappears? This is where the delete the requirement step of his five-step algorithm intersects with manufacturing. In a factory context, the best part is no part. The best weld is no weld. The best process step is no process step. Tesla's factory strategy is an expression of this thinking at building scale. Gigafactory Texas, outside Austin, has more than 10 million square feet of factory floor. It is one of the largest buildings in the world by footprint. Gigafactory Berlin is designed to be Tesla's most advanced and efficient facility yet. Both were built from scratch to Tesla's specifications, rather than being adapted from existing automotive plants. The pace at which these factories were built and ramped up was itself extraordinary. Giga Berlin took approximately 2 years from groundbreaking to first deliveries, despite significant regulatory delays. Giga Texas went from groundbreaking to producing the first Model Y in roughly the same time. For comparison, building a new car factory from scratch typically takes 5 to 10 years in the traditional automotive industry. Musk's theory is that the bottleneck in manufacturing is not capital or equipment. It is the speed of design iteration. A factory is a piece of hardware. Hardware can be iterated on, just like software. The question is not how to build a good factory once. The question is how to build a factory that keeps getting better. The logical extension of everything Tesla has built in its factories is a robot that can do the tasks still performed by humans, not a fixed arm on an assembly line. A general-purpose humanoid robot that can walk, carry, sort, and manipulate objects the way a human worker can, but without getting tired, without needing a salary, and without getting injured. Tesla calls this robot Optimus. The first version was revealed in 2022. By 2024, Tesla was running internal trials with Optimus performing real tasks inside its factories, sorting battery cells, moving parts between stations, doing the kind of repetitive handling work that currently requires human hands and backs. By early 2025, wider deployment was underway across Tesla's factories, with a target of 1 million robots per year at full production. The ambition is not modest. Tesla says Optimus is designed to be a general-purpose, autonomous, bipedal robot. General-purpose means it is not designed to do one task. It is designed to learn new tasks from demonstration and from training data, the same way its cars learn to drive. The obvious question is, why build a humanoid robot? Industrial robots have existed for decades. They are fast, precise, and reliable. Why not just build better versions of those? Musk's answer is a version of the factory is, a product argument. Factories built for specialized robots require the factory to be designed around the robot. If you want to change the product, you often need to change the factory layout. A humanoid robot, by contrast, can work in a factory built for humans. It can be redeployed to a different task by uploading new instructions. When the product changes, the robot changes with it, rather than requiring a new capital investment in fixed equipment. There is also a supply chain argument. Most components and tools in the world are designed for human-scale hands and human-scale bodies. A robot shaped like a human can use those components without modification. A specialized robot cannot. If you want a robot that can work anywhere, in any factory, on any task, it needs to be shaped like the things it is working with, which mostly means shaped like a human. The honest implication of everything above is that a significant portion of the work currently done by human beings in factories, warehouses, and logistics could, in principle, be done by machines. This is not a new concern. It has been raised every time a major new wave of automation has arrived, from the mechanical loom to the assembly line to the computer. And each time, economists have noted that automation tends to change the nature of work rather than eliminate it entirely, at least in the medium term. Musk's position on this is more radical than the mainstream economic view. He has said publicly that AI and robotics could make work, in the traditional sense, optional, within 10 to 20 years. His argument is that if robots can perform most physical labor and AI can perform most cognitive labor, the scarcity that makes work necessary begins to disappear. In that world, people could work because they want to, not because they have to. He has not been specific about how the transition happens or what the social and economic structures around that would look like. The question of how you distribute the gains from automation is a political and social question, not an engineering question. The tension is visible inside Tesla's own factories right now. Tesla's Fremont plant employed roughly 5,000 people when it reopened as a Tesla factory in 2010. By the mid-2020s, it employed over 20,000. The addition of robots has not reduced headcount. It has enabled faster production of a more complex product with the same or growing workforce. But this reflects a period of rapid growth. As Optimus scales from hundreds to tens of thousands to 1 million units, the relationship between robots and human workers in Tesla factories will change. The tasks that Optimus is being trained to perform are currently performed by humans. At scale, Optimus would replace those humans at those tasks, even if Tesla as a whole continued to grow in ways that created different jobs elsewhere. Musk is explicit about this being the goal, not a side effect. He sees replacing human labor in physically dangerous or repetitive tasks as a moral good, not just an efficiency gain. The human worker on the battery cell line does not want to be there doing that all day. The robot does not mind. Haul back and look at what Musk is actually building across his companies. At Tesla, a factory that iterates itself into greater and greater efficiency, using gigacasting to eliminate parts and automation to eliminate labor. At SpaceX, the same logic applied to rockets, a booster that lands and relaunches, reducing the amortized cost of reaching orbit. At xAI, intelligence that can be replicated at near zero marginal cost. At Neuralink, a direct link between human cognition and the machines that do these things. The common thread is the elimination of scarcity. Energy is abundant if you build enough solar and storage. Launch capacity is abundant if rockets are reusable. Intelligence is abundant if AI scales. Physical labor is abundant if robots scale. In each case, the constraint is not the underlying physics. The constraint is whether you can build the machine that builds the machine fast enough. Musk believes the limiting factor is manufacturing throughput. If you can increase the speed and decrease the cost of making things, almost every other problem becomes more tractable. Food, clean water, energy, medicine, housing, these are all, at some level, manufacturing problems. There are genuine things nobody knows here. Nobody knows whether Optimus will work as advertised at scale. Humanoid robotics has produced promising demos before and stumbled at deployment. The tasks it can reliably perform today are narrow. The tasks required for general factory deployment are much broader. Nobody knows what the transition looks like for the workers in the middle. The Economist's answer, that automation creates new jobs, has generally been true historically, but does not guarantee a smooth transition for the individuals whose specific jobs disappear. The fact that a robot economy might ultimately be more abundant does not help the person who lost their job this year, while the abundance is still decades away. And nobody knows whether the concentrated ownership of the machines that produce everything is a good outcome for humanity, even if the machines work perfectly. A world where one company's robots make most of the world's goods and one person controls that company raises questions that engineering cannot answer. Elon Musk and manufacturing. A man who entered a mature, capital-intensive industry and decided the most interesting problem was not the product but the process of making it, who took 70 parts and made them one, who built factories in 2 years that the industry said would take 10, who is now building a humanoid robot to replace the human beings doing the work he finds most wasteful because he believes they should not have to do it. None of this is guaranteed to work. The robots might not scale. The factories might hit limits nobody anticipated. The economic transition might be harder and slower and more painful than the engineering projections suggest, but the direction is clear. The machine that builds the machine is getting better. And the question of what a world looks like when it does is one that each of us will eventually have to answer.